You can find his work in the Register Guard on the cover of the sports section today, for example. Catch up online at registerguard.com, on Twitter at AustinMeekRG. Austin, how you doing?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing good. How are you?
All righty. So the day after the Civil War, Mark Helfrich met with the media. He was heading out to recruit and, you know, February's letter of intent signing day. And I'd say at best, most folks felt he was, I don't know, half shot to still be the coach by the time his plane landed. You've covered a bunch of these press sessions. How high up the scale of surreal was Sunday?
That was exactly the word I was going to use, was surreal, because I don't think I've seen that before. You know, I've seen some kind of weird things. I did a teleconference with the coach and the AD on the same line right after the coach got fired, which was kind of weird. But in terms of odd coaching hot seat press conferences, that was pretty high on the list. I do have to say, I had a ton of respect for Mark Helfrich and how he handled that situation. I was really surprised he did that press conference. If it was me, I probably would have said, hey, sorry, guys. In my position, I want no part of that. But he did it. He sat up there for 15 minutes. He took the questions. He handled it all very well. You know, he's very composed and professional about it. So I really appreciated how Mark Helfrich handled it, but I thought it was a really odd position for him to be in.
Well, it was. I would say most coaches might not have been up there, but yesterday a lot of us talked about Rob Mullins, the athletic director, and how he has not announced the decision. Has he made one? Does he need more time? Was he pursuing a replacement? So since we could all only speculate, how would you evaluate how the Oregon athletic director has handled this so far?
Well, I would not give Rob Mullins a real high grade for how he's handled this so far. That's kind of what I wrote about coming off of the Civil War, was how, you know, the spotlight was shifting off of Mark Helfrich and onto Rob Mullins. You know, the referendum on Mark Helfrich is over now, and now it's all about Rob Mullins and how he does his job. And so far, I would say he hasn't handled it very well. You know, I think he needed to come out sooner and Civil War, even if he wasn't prepared to make a decision right after the Civil War, I think he needed to say something. He needed to address the situation. And now by letting it drag on, yeah, he's just allowed Mark Helfrich to really twist in the wind. It's had a detrimental effect for the program. You know, they just lost a big recruit today. So it's a bad situation. And I think, you know, there's sort of two ways to look at it, and I think it's probably a combination of both, where part of this is the fact that Rob Mullins is a pretty deliberate guy. He's not a spur-of-the-moment, you know, make-a-decision-based-on-emotion type of AD. So I think he does want some time to really think this through, because it is an important decision, and I certainly don't begrudge him that. But I do think another part of it is trying to get a feel for who's out there, who would come if they do fire Mark Helfrich, who the replacement is going to be. And that's the part of it where, you know, it feels like they had plenty of time to do their homework on the candidates that are out there. There's nobody that's going to come up in the next week that they couldn't have been looking at already. And so I think at this point, they just need to make a decision and not let it drag on much longer.
Talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So you wrote today about the buyout. If the decision is made to retain Coach Helf, but they have another season like this, five or less wins, it gets cut in half. Can we assume finances plays a substantial role? Or if they found a preferable candidate, they'll deal with the money and make a strict football decision?
Well, Rob Mullins is an accountant by trade, and when he was hired, it was in large part to balance the books. And so I think he's definitely going to be thinking about the money. He's definitely going to be thinking about the fact that to buy out Mark Helfrich and his staff right now, it's going to be $15 million on top of probably $10 million to hire a new staff. So that's a lot of money. But if you've got boosters who are motivated to pay the bill for that, you can get it done. And the other side of the equation is, how much revenue do you lose next year if you stick with Mark Helfrich and the donations go down and the season tickets go down? It's possible that the money you would save on the buyout, you just lose that and more in terms of revenue and ticket sales. So it's a complicated equation, and I'm sure that Rob Mullins is trying to balance both sides of that, and I think that is part of maybe why this has been a longer process than a lot of us would like.
Let's try this angle. I was asked near the end of yesterday's show, forget what I think is best or who might come in here and take Oregon back into contention. They asked me flat out, what do I think is going to happen? And for the first time in 23 years of doing sports radio, I literally had no gut feeling. I was like 50-50. I mean, if somebody said to you, here's 10 grand, it's a 50-50 prop in Vegas, put your 10 grand down, would you say Helf is going to be the coach or not? Do you have any gut feeling?
Well, if they found a bet that you didn't want to take, that's a pretty rare situation right there. For me, my gut feeling has been that they're going to make a change. I wrote that on Sunday. It's sort of been my feeling all along. I didn't think it was a slam dunk. I thought there was a possibility that Mark Helfrich could stay. But I think the longer it goes on, probably the more it leans toward making a change. I don't think it's done. You know, I think if it was really all done, they would have said so by now. But I think the longer it goes on, the harder it is going to be to bring Mark Helfrich back, because you're really undermining his ability to succeed next year with every day that goes on here without making some kind of statement of support.
I saw you posted a letter from a longtime season ticket holder who was against firing the coach. I took a little survey yesterday. We had 39 people chime in. 19 said keep the coach, definitely. 9 said fire. The rest actually were kind of like, it depends on the replacement. So you're on Twitter. You see the comment section of everything you post. Do you have any kind of read on the pulse of the preference of the people you deal with, your readers and people like that?
I think it has shifted a little bit, even in the last few days. And I think some of that goes back to the Sunday press conference. I think that really made Mark Helfrich kind of a sympathetic figure almost, whereas right after the Civil War, some people were upset and ready to make a change, and then they saw him come out there the next day and handle himself so well in that situation, and a lot of the anger at that point, I think, shifted to Rob Mullins. So I think there's been a little shift in the last few days of some people being able to step back from the season a little bit and say, obviously this was a bad season, we're disappointed, but there's a lot to like about Mark Helfrich. He's a stand-up guy. He's won here in the past. And I have seen a few more fans in the last few days saying that they would like to have him back. I think the fans I hear from, it's still probably more than half who are ready to make a change. But there are some, and they've been fairly vocal about saying that they do want him to come back.
No, it's taken a lot of interesting twists and turns. Let's get to men's basketball. They got the comeback win last night. Let's call it less than impressive. They were a 17-point favorite, but a win is a win. You know, you listen to Dana Altman. He's not happy. The play is sloppy, inconsistent. Safe to say that he's making no bones about, at this point, despite a good record and a ranking, he's displeased with their performance?
Well, he should be displeased. I mean, this team has not lived up to the expectations that a lot of people had coming into the season, even when you factor in the Dylan Brooks injury. I still think I expect more from Oregon at this point. I think most people did. Doesn't mean that they can't find that, and I think they're going to have a chance over this next month because they've got a bunch of games at home against teams they should beat. So I think they're going to have a chance to find that, but they're definitely not there yet. I mean, the chemistry on this team just looks a little bit off to me. And even though there's so much of it that's the same from last year, it seems like the little changes right now have thrown them off to a greater degree than you would expect, because you know there's a lot of things they have to iron out, and they need to you know, they need to do it over this next month. And I think they can be okay by the time they get to Pac-12 play, but they're not there yet for sure.
Yeah, and it's 4 weeks away. Final question for Austin Meek in the spirit of the final Tuesday release of the selection committee rankings, because Sunday is when we find out for sure. If you had a vote, what would be your current four-team playoff, and is your fifth team close, and, you know, make your case?
Well, my top four would be Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Washington. And then in some order behind that, you've got Wisconsin and Penn State and Oklahoma and Michigan, and even Colorado, I think, has an outside shot to get in. I think the top four, you know, if Clemson and Washington win their conference title games, I think they're in. I think Washington has done enough to get that fourth spot. But, you know, there could be some drama there with the winner of the Big Ten title game, Wisconsin or Penn State. And Oklahoma is a team that I would keep an eye on, because, you know, the one thing about Washington is their non-conference schedule, which everybody has talked about. And even though Oklahoma has two losses, they scheduled some big boys in the non-conference schedule. And this may be a year where the committee wants to say, we're not going to penalize a team for scheduling Houston and Ohio State, especially if Oklahoma ends up going undefeated in the Big 12. So I think there could be some drama there. I don't envy Rob Mullins for a lot of reasons, and that's one of them. I would not want to be trying to figure this out on top of trying to figure out what to do with the coach.
Yeah, I agree with you with your four. A Penn State win, and then you'd be torn because of Ohio State losing. And it's at times like this where it's like, you know what, you make that decision, I'll just offer my analysis.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Registerguard.com, at Austin Meek RG, our Tuesday leadoff guy. Appreciate the time and insight. As always, Austin, talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.